Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for joining us today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide, KFUO. If you want to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, and I encourage you to do so, go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. There you'll find the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Click on that, and you can find out a whole lot more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. We've got some great stuff, a great conversation lined up ahead of us. Joining me in studio today are friends from Youth Ministry here at the LCMS International Center, the Reverend Mark Kiesling, Associate Director of LCMS Youth Ministry and Program Director of the National Youth Gathering. Mark, great to have you back in studio today.
It's so great to be here, Andy. Thanks for having us.
Also joining us in studio today, Amy Gray, Media and Publications Project Coordinator for LCMS Office of National Mission Youth Ministry. Amy, thanks for joining us in studio today.
Thanks for having us.
Now, we've only heard your voice on the air just a little bit, so it's nice to get you in studio today to talk about what's going on in LCMS Youth Ministry. We've got a number of things on the lineup today. We're going to talk about stuff that's coming up in the year ahead. Well, next couple of years, actually. I think probably the one thing that many people know about, the National Youth Gathering. We're looking at 2016, right?
That's correct. July 16th through the 20th in New Orleans of 2016.
July 16th through the 20th, 2016. Mark your calendars now.
Yes.
So you can start preparing for that. What is the purpose of the National Youth Gathering?
Well, the purpose of the Youth Gathering, it really has a rich history in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and really Lutheran church bodies in general. It's been a time, if you think back to the Walther League, when they would have national events, when they'd bring their young people together for time of Bible study, for time of recreation, for time as well in worship. And that's continued through the LCMS as well. So we do ours every 3 years. We are in San Antonio in 2013. And really, it's 5 days of coming together to grow in the Christian faith, and to learn more about our Lutheran identity and to serve our neighbor. And so it's days of time where we get together in what we call basically our mass events, one of those being a time of worship that we kind of do towards the end of the event, times of learning, times in God's Word, both in a corporate sense, but also in their local congregation groups that come together. And then there's days of service. So in San Antonio, we sent out thousands of young people into the community to serve in a variety of locations. Some of the real exciting ones were we were connecting with like Link San Antonio, which is a Lutheran inner city network coalition of the local LCMS congregations. And so there were some long lasting relationships built there between LCMS congregations and those ministries, as well as the people of San Antonio. And then during the day too, full of learning experiences, both from like a speaker standpoint of workshops. So from a wide variety of topics that young people are encounter in their everyday life, to learning about life in the church, might be future church workers, it might be learning about some certain vocations within serving the church, as well as what they look forward to in their times of college and as adults as well. And then also we have them basically in an experiential learning floor or exhibit hall, which is a time where the church is able to show what we do as the LCMS through our exhibit space, as well as other entities of the church, from the Concordia University system to our RSOs and to many other organizations within the church that support young people in their life of faith. And then there's also other ways in which they are able to engage in learning, really kind of in a communal way with other people from all over the country, all over the world, and learning about their Lutheran faith that way.
So this, for most people, well, first of all, who would normally attend? What's that age range? Who would attend a National Youth Gathering?
Our age range primarily is age 14 to 19. We also have what we call our young adult volunteers. They're kind of fun, in a fun way, known as the Orange Nation. They wear orange shirts at the events. And they are really the backbone of service at our event, along with some other key volunteers. That's age 19 to 25. So officially, you can participate in the youth gathering actually up through age 21. But generally, we encourage age 19 to 21 to be with their peers and young adult volunteers. But certainly, they're welcome to come with their congregational groups as well. And again, we start basically at age 14 or as you're entering your freshman year in high school. So it's primarily a high school event. And then we have adult leaders that are obviously key to in working with the young people, being in the Word together, and then obviously getting them to the city as well. And so then we have a general ratio that works out to about, you know, an adult for maybe every five youth or so. You know, for smaller groups, you certainly can bring two or three, but that's about the general ratio which we have for adults to youth. And so then those come as congregational groups. So you actually register through your home congregation, and you have that time of equipping the saints, preparing for the event in God's Word and service as well.
So for most young people, this is going to be during those high school years. This is probably a once, maybe a twice lifetime type of thing. Amy, did you go as a high school student? I mean, it wasn't that long ago for you.
No, it wasn't. 2007 was my National Youth Gathering and definitely was a formative experience for my faith and was one of the first times when I really started to think about the importance or meaning of my faith and how that should be impacting my personal life. So definitely a valuable experience for me, and now it's neat to be a part of that and help give that experience to other people.
What is your involvement in your work here at the International Center? How do you get to be involved with the National Youth Gathering?
Yeah, so I oversee the media team for the Youth Gathering. So basically everything that you would see, the video, the graphic design, the posters, everything on the website, the mailings that come to your congregation, the things on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that's going to come from my team. So get to work with a lot of awesome people that know a lot more than I do about those specific areas, and they help paint the picture and tell the story of the gathering.
Cool. So we're looking at high school students gathering together with their leaders. Mm-hmm. On average, about how many would be attending a National Youth Gathering?
So in 2013, we had over 22,000 participants. And so that breaks down roughly 17,000 plus youth participants, 4,000 plus adult participants. So that's roughly what comes. 1,600 congregations were represented across the LCMS, plus we had international participants as well that came. And so we work with both our LCMS missionaries and certainly the churches that they've planted across the globe, as well as our international church partners as well to bring young people in to celebrate our faith together. So it's a great opportunity there, as well as I said before, it takes thousands of volunteers to pull off something like the National Youth Gathering. So on top of those 22,000 plus paid participants, we have another 1,000 to 2,000 volunteers who attend, plus exhibitors and speakers as well that are coming from across the United States and across the LCMS.
That's a lot of people under one roof.
It is. It's wonderful to see. It's amazing. You know, I think I've spoken on the show before. I mean, it always blows us away of the witness that those young people and the adult leaders bring to those cities. I mean, we will just hear from these are not necessarily, certainly not LCMS folks, but not necessarily even Christian folks who come in and say, your youth were just amazing. And sometimes it can be a nerve-wracking thing. Like I said, it's a lot of people to put on a roof. Sometimes, you know, cities don't look that favorably upon youth events that are coming into their city. Mm-hmm. And one, we have a great adult-to-youth ratio, and our kids are just wonderful young people and are there to learn about their faith and to witness to their faith and the witness of Jesus Christ. And so they just blow away hotel staff, convention center staff, police officers, and just how well they behave and just how they understand their vocation as young people in this world.
So now we've set the standard high, folks, for those who are planning on going in 2016.
And we're not worried at all. Not at all.
I think something else that's really neat, too, is to think about the generations of people that have been impacted by this. You know, so for over 35 years to continue to be able to serve youth and adults across the LCMS is also a really powerful thing to realize how it's united, really, generations of believers is also neat to look at that legacy.
So 2016, New Orleans, July 16th through the 20th. Mm-hmm. Now, in the meantime, though, there are things to be thinking about to prepare for that. Coming up in 2015, correct, we've got something to help prepare for that. What is that?
That is the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference. And so that is also an event that we run basically on non-gathering years. Mm-hmm. And then specifically, most recently, we've been doing it just the year before the youth gathering in the gathering city. So we'll be again in New Orleans at the Crown Plaza Astor Hotel in downtown New Orleans, July 12th through the 15th, again of 2015. So it's an excellent time if there is an adult leader who's looking forward to coming to the gathering in 2016, that they can come and see the city, see the hotels, the facilities, as well as we do workshops that prepare them and help them be adult leaders along the way too, mm-hmm, in that next year, that critical year, to prepare them for the actual National Youth Gathering in 2016. Youth are also invited. Certainly we will have a leadership track that will take place at the event as well. And so information about that program will be coming out very soon. But it's not just for those attending the gathering too. It's an overall event talking about youth ministry from the professional church worker, the pastor, DCE, DCO, deaconess, to the volunteer layperson that's working in youth ministry as well.
So it's all y'all, not just y'all, but all y'all.
Absolutely.
All y'all come.
And all y'all.
Andy, there's something kind of special too.
What's that?
With registration. Mark, do you want to make this known?
You go ahead.
Mark had a crazy idea. We weren't sure if he was feeling well, but I think it's okay that all adult registrants for National will receive free registration to the youth gathering.
So,
whoa.
That's crazy.
It is. It's pretty crazy.
So if you register for National 2015 to go learn, network, train in youth ministry, then and you have a paid registration for National 2015, then you get also get registration, free registration for the National Youth Gathering in 2016. For you, for that adult leader.
Correct. Right. Correct. Right. So it's for the adult registration. And for us, it was something we looked at a lot of our feedback we received from our adult audience. And more and more, we would hear feedback that adults would say, the more time I invested in prepping in that year out or that year time or so to be ready for that year of preparation, the better our group got along, the better we were able to understand the city. You know, so there was less stress about the travel and just the logistics and the better experience we had at the gathering, and that they were able to really focus on God's word and focus their time together in community at the gathering. And so that was an investment we wanted to make in National for those adults that would come and attend, that, boy, we see that as a great investment for you and for your time at the gathering and for those young people you'd be bringing with you.
Wow. So what are some of the things that you mentioned briefly, some of the stuff that will be covered at the National conference, National Youth Workers Conference, sectionals and things like that. They'll get to cover a variety of topics. I gather those are all still being worked out. I mean, it's a year away, but anything you can share with us
at
this point?
Well, I will say one thing we're doing a little bit different about the schedule. It's essentially a four-day event, so the 12th through the 15th. And usually in the past, we've run those like from a Thursday to Sunday, full days. You know, we had both weekdays and weekends in there. And a feedback we got about that event is from our lay people. They would say, hey, it being on the weekends key to us because we've got a Monday through Friday job and we can't take more than 2 days off vacation. Mm-hmm. So we need those Saturday and Sundays. And our church workers were coming back and saying, weekends are pretty busy for us in our vocations back home in our congregations. And so, you know, they wish we could get off the weekend. So what the 12th through the 15th is a Sunday through Wednesday.
And so now you just made everybody.
That's right. That's right. So what we've done is the core of the program is on Monday and Tuesday. It'll be done by Tuesday noon so that you can catch a flight and be home by Tuesday night to return to work on Wednesday morning.
Sure.
Then Sunday and Wednesday are essentially workshop days that'll mirror each other. So if you come in, for example, on Saturday, if you're a lay person, you come in on Saturday, we'll have worship opportunities on Sunday at a local New Orleans congregation, LCMS congregation, and then you can have workshops that you can take part in on Sunday, and then the bulk of the program on Monday and Tuesday. The final plenary will be early on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, then there'll be basically the repeat of the workshops that you are able to attend on Sunday. Then if you're someone who works and needs to be in your congregation Sunday morning, you can fly in Sunday night, get the bulk of the program on Monday and Tuesday, and then have those same workshops offered on Wednesday. So we're trying to
sounds
take that
genius.
Feedback.
Who's yeah, that? Was that trying. Your idea, Amy?
I wish I could take credit for that, but I did support it.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea. So that you can accommodate those who have a busy weekend schedule and those who can't really take off a lot of time during the week. I can identify with both.
Yes, right, exactly. Yes, you can.
I can't take off time during the week or on the weekends. No, I'm just kidding. Well, so that's really exciting. National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference, July 12th through the 15th,
correct,
2015. Registration, is that open and running?
It is. Yeah, you can register online. The website is www.nlywc.com. So National Lutheran Youth Worker, if you take the first letter of each word, that's how you get the URL. And then there's a registration tab there.
nlywc.com.
Yep.
And you can register there for the conference and different pricing for early bird. When
there
does early bird end?
Early bird ends September 4th, and then there's a middle section. I forget the end date for that. Maybe March.
March, yes.
March 4th, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you have your final later registration.
Someone who's a college student or a seminarian or studying, any break for them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give them a little break too. They can sign up at a reduced rate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very good. And youth can attend, you said, as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll have more information about that. That'll be a leadership track that will connect closely to our LYF leadership track, which is also in March. And so you'll have two opportunities for that, for young people to be engaged. And probably, I think they're aiming at some sort of like vocational piece about understanding how do we witness our faith and our vocation and our future vocations as well.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exciting. All right. So the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference, July 12th through the 15th, 2015. So a year from now, registration is open at nlywc.com. And other stuff from youth ministry here at the LCMS. Youth eSource, or eSource for short, right?
Yeah, we're really excited. As of July 1st, we rolled over a new website for the eSource. And this is something that it's probably long overdue, just updating the website and adding more functionality and taking advantage of just the latest technology. So definitely check it out. There's a lot of awesome resources there written by LCMS folks, both professional and lay leaders, all free to whoever wants to use them.
You use the free word.
Yeah, yes. That's a big deal, right?
Free resources.
And that's something that we really want to provide as we think about resourcing the church, to be able to provide them for free and for them to be quality, doctrinally reviewed Lutheran resources, from Bible studies to devotionals to practical pieces to media movie reviews. There's all kinds of good stuff out there for youth workers to use with their youth.
Well, that's great. So these are all resources that they can use in the congregation in a variety of settings. Give us an idea of what types of resources that they can encounter, that they could use from Youth eSource. Like, what types of categories do these fall into?
Sure. I mean, I'd like to think it's really a broad spectrum of any kind of issue or topic that you might come across. So we have a Bible study that specifically covers the lectionary series, the three-year lectionary series. So if you wanted to follow a Bible study or Sunday school that follows along with the readings, they're also hearing in church. There's something there for that. There's ones that are topically based. For faith and family, there are several about the value of family and how to continue to build the faith as a family together. There's a whole section called Youth and Culture. So they're more talking point resources on specific issues that students may be facing in school or may be coming across as they interact with their peers, their friends. There's also a tab specifically for the youth worker, so caring for the youth worker yourself, that addresses things like burnout or depression, or how to care for yourself while you're also caring for other people.
So this is a resource that would be helpful for youth workers, teachers, parents. That covers, you mentioned youth and culture, and so it covers a variety of topics that really would be helpful for parents to read and understand. And that you mentioned talking points, things that can be useful for conversation, whether you're a youth leader in a congregation or a teacher in a classroom or a parent, things that you might want to bring up at the dinner table or in the car on the drive to school,
right?
Or other times when that could be helpful for good conversations at home. Bible studies, you mentioned the three-year lectionary series. That's great. Glad to hear that you have resources like that teachers, pastors, DCEs, parents, even parents could use something like this at home as a conversation starter to talk about what did we hear in church this morning? What did we talk about? Or what was the sermon about? And gives you an opportunity to extend the conversation as well. So it's all free, huh?
It's all free.
Who are the
for you?
For me. Free for me.
For the users, yes.
Who contributes to eSource? Who are the contributors?
Yeah, the author list is quite expansive and really a solid list of.
And you don't have them all memorized?
And I have them all memorized in alphabetical order.
Very good.
Actually, there is a page. If you wanted to go look and see, you could see the list of all the authors from now. This spans back to 10 years. So there's really quite a few contributors to the eSource. But as I mentioned, directors of Christian education and teachers and pastors and lay people really from across the synod. I don't know if there's anyone specifically to reference, but there's a really solid list of people who are connected to youth ministry. Yeah,
I even saw some posts from youth.
Yeah, you're right. There are some youth who've also written their perspective, what they want youth workers, youth leaders to know, those kinds of things. Yeah.
It's been really amazing to watch. That started, years ago, like 10 years ago, as, not really knowing what we were getting into necessarily with this whole website thing and online resources. And it's been amazing to watch it grow and just to see the number of speakers, writers, and just to see across, again, how many districts in the LCMS are represented. Again, everything from pastors to DCs, DCOs, deaconesses, lay people, just care for youth and their congregation that have, given this opportunity for them to write, and at the same time how they care for the young people in our church body too. It's really neat to see how that's come together.
And how can they find the e-source? Where can they find that?
You can find it online, www.youthesource.com.
Youthesource.com.
Yep. I should mention too, for the national website as well as the e-source, everything is found under lcms.org/youth. So there you can find a listing of all of our resource and ministry areas. So that's
also how I find it.
Yeah, yeah. That might be an easier way, but the Youth eSource also has its direct link.
I enjoyed reading through several of the resources on Youth eSource recently, and going to talk with some of those folks, some of the contributors to Youth eSource, about some of their posts on there. And looking forward to having those conversations, hearing about what they've posted there, and just to give our listeners kind of a sample of what they would find on Youth eSource. Mm-hmm. Anything else on about Youth eSource that or other things that we'd like to share today?
I think one other piece just wanted to lift up is that the Synod is going to lift up a number of program areas within the whole LCMS ministry as a whole. And so there's going to be some emphases that are going to be brought up month by month. You'll see those in the LCMS reporter as well as on the website. And so we are glad to know that in August, it's going to be LCMS Youth and LCMS Schools Month. So there will be a special piece if you receive the LCMS reporter for the insert that will be highlighting some of the ministries that take place amongst our LCMS schools and LCMS youth ministries, as well as there's pray for us materials, I think, throughout that month. Daily prayer requests for within youth ministry and school ministry as well. And so, and those are on the website, I believe.
Yep.
I think it's lcms.org/pray for us maybe is where that's at. So those will be coming out in August. And then July, if you receive the reporter, there was a month that focused on service, and there were a lot of things connected to young people there too, from young adult volunteers at the gathering to our LCMS servant events. Youth Corps was listed in there as well. So other great ways that they can get information about service opportunities for young people.
And for those who are listening who are in the Twitter sphere or on Facebook, you post some updates pretty regularly on Twitter and on Facebook as well. How do they get connected with those?
Sure. For Twitter, you can follow us at LCMSNYG for the gathering, or for general youth ministry is LCMS Youth. So on Facebook, really, you could search for us, I suppose, LCMS Youth Ministry or Youth Gathering. And yeah, we find that this has been a way to continue to build that community, build awareness for events, and be able to celebrate together, to give thanks together, and yeah, just stay connected to be able to hear from people in congregations.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for taking some time to talk with us today. We've been talking with the Reverend Mark Kiesling. He's the Associate Director of LCMS Youth Ministry and Program Director of the National Youth Gathering. Mark, thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And also our guest, Amy Gray. She's the Media and Publications Project Coordinator for LCMS Office of National Mission Youth. Amy, thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks, Andy.
Coming up in a little bit, we've got more Faith and Family. Stick around for that right after this break on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Women who are raped and become pregnant experience a great deal of pressure to abort their babies. Those who choose life for their babies are heroes in my book. But did you know in about half of the states, the rapist can actually sue for custody and visitation rights? It's absolutely outrageous. Shauna Pruitt was one such woman who ultimately prevailed in court. This motivated her to get a law degree and push for corrective legislation in all 50 states. Just think how many more women would let their babies live if they knew they'd be safe from legal action by the person who viciously assaulted them. Please visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to find out where your state stands. We also have a group to help you protect women from legal attacks after the brutal physical ones.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Have you ever thought about becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524 and become a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
Father Fred Smuda says his church rectory on North Carolina's Outer Banks is on stilts and built to withstand hurricane winds.
This house rocks. It really does, but it's built to rock. If it was stationary, we would have problems. But it's built on pillars and it sways with the wind.
Smuda is pastor of Our Lady of the Seas Catholic Church, 2 miles from the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. The lighthouse is on the southeast tip of Hatteras Island, which Dare County officials placed under a mandatory evacuation order as Tropical Storm Arthur approached hurricane strength Wednesday. The National Hurricane Center has issued a hurricane warning for Dare County and much of the North Carolina coast. Father Smuda says,
potentially it's my first hurricane. Right now, I'm very calm, but I know people are running around like crazy.
The Catholic priest says his parishioners are a very praying community, but would welcome the prayers of others right now as well. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking about topics in youth ministry, and we mentioned Youth eSource as a resource in the previous segment. And today we have the privilege of having one of the authors of one of the resources from Youth eSource joining us. We have Cassie Moore. She's a DCE writer and speaker, a Christian educator, and she wrote a great piece on understanding the tween mind. So we're going to talk with her about that. The name of the piece, Betwixt, Inside the Tween Mind, What Occupies the Brains of Incoming Middle Schoolers, is the question we ask. Joining us by phone today, Cassie Moore. Cassie, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, Cassie, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your background. A fellow roster director of Christian education, and so tell us about your background, your education, and what you're doing these days.
Yeah, I've worked as a DCE for a couple of years. Right now, I'm doing a lot of full-time writing. Also doing some work, working with kids, working with various programs at my church. But in the last decade, I've worked with students from 6 states. So from coast to coast, California to Florida, worked with kids all over the place, worked with the National Youth Gathering, done a little bit of speaking all over the country. So just had the privilege of really being all over the place, meeting lots of new people, really spending a lot of time with leaders and students. So it's been great.
Well, wonderful. And you provided some content for Youth eSource, a great resource, Betwixt, Inside the Tween Mind, and asking the question, what occupies the brains of incoming middle schoolers? What is a tween? For those of us who don't speak the lingo, what's a tween?
Yeah, a tween is really, it's a kid who's sort of in between that stage of childhood and young adulthood, just on the brink of becoming a teenager. So generally, it's kids that are between 9 and 12, I would say, because 13 is really when we start calling them teenagers. It's kind of a confusing time for kids and really for people that deal with them. I actually tell a lot of my students that there's a reason you never hear adults saying, oh boy, I wish I could be 10 years old again. it's just a hard time to navigate. So that tween group is a special group of kids that I think we overlook them a lot, but there's a lot we need to know about them.
Well, I think from my own life experience and that of witnessing that of others, every stage of life has its challenges. You know, no one necessarily wants to go back to being 10 years old, but I tell you, the mid to upper 30s, it has its challenges too.
That is very true. I miss some of those carefree days. But, at the same time, I talk to kids all over the country, and a lot of the things they're wrestling with, they're very difficult topics and subject matter. And there are a lot of things that I can't even relate to as somebody who's not that much older than them. It's a hard world they're navigating in these days. So I feel for them.
Certainly. The world around us has changed to some degree, especially culture and things like that. Although we know, according to God's word, there's nothing new under the sun. But yes, how we go about and how we interact with one another, our culture certainly has changed over the last few years. And that means different things for young people as they grow and mature in this world. And so tell us about your experience with tweens. You had some recent face-to-face time with some tweens, right?
Yeah, I actually sat down with a group of fourth graders, a classroom of fourth graders, and, right at the end of their school year, as they stood on the brink of going into middle school, into fifth grade, and I said, just open up to me. I want to hear what's really going on in your lives, what really is going on in your brains, what are the things that we need to know about you, because you have a voice, and you have a way to offer us perspective into your world that a lot of people don't ever see. So what do you want adults to know? And it was a fascinating, it's actually a two-piece article, but really some fascinating things that came out of that conversation with those fourth graders that I really did not expect to hear from kids that age. One of the things that they actually, that is really on their mind a lot, that I heard a lot, was there's a lot of fear. I think they're balancing this sort of optimism and fear in their lives. They're excited about the future, but they're also afraid. They're worried about going into middle school. They're worried about relationships and they're changing bodies. Even a lot of them reference school shootings. That's something that really concerns a lot of young kids. So it's a good thing as educators and as parents, it's good for us to be aware of what they're worried about.
Absolutely. The stress and fears, we wouldn't think that at age 10, 9 through 12, that there would be a lot of stress or fears. Like you said earlier, some of us think back to those times and think, what a carefree time in life compared to what I have
right
now.
Right. And another thing that surprised me about them is a lot of them are already thinking about marriage and their futures. A number of the kids I talked to were already talking about college, talking about, I have to have a successful job someday. I don't want to end up just flipping burgers or being a sign guy on the side of the road. And it's something that they're all thinking. A lot of them couldn't actually articulate it because they were embarrassed about it. So again, a good thing for us to keep in mind as we deal with them, but a lot of times they are very curious about something. They just don't know how to ask. They want to know. They just don't know how to ask about the subject.
So communication at that stage in life, developing the communication skills and learning how to ask and to interact with people of all ages can be frightening,
yeah,
if they haven't had the opportunity to do that up until that point.
Right. And they really, this tween age, they open up really easily if you give them individual attention. They still are at that age where they want to please, but they're also becoming a little bit more independent. So it's really a time, as adults, we need to let them make some choices and have some independent time, but we also need to be their guide. It's a dark world that they're navigating sometimes. You talk to tweens, I asked this particular group, you know, raise your hand if you have an iPad or you have a cell phone or you have a laptop at home. And most of the kids had at least two out of the three, if not all three. So they're exposed to a lot, and they need good guides in their lives, good Christian people that are influencing them as they encounter all the things that are out there.
Why is it important for young people, especially tweens, to have those relationships with mature Christians? Why is it important for them to have that? You mentioned, you know, just the things that they're exposed to, the access that they have to technology with all the mobile devices today. What is it that they can gain from interaction with people of all ages, especially mature Christians, maybe in their congregation, if they have time to interact with them and opportunities?
Yeah, I think it's what's really interesting about that tween age is they respond well to all different types of individuals and all different types of ages. I think there's an idea out there that you have to be some young, hip 20-year-old to really connect with a tween. And while they appreciate that and they look up to that kind of person, they connect well with people that are 60 or 70 or 15 or, you know, just different ages. They're really a kind of an eclectic group in that sense that they look up to anybody that will give them sort of that individual attention. But I think as adults, we have the opportunity to be a light in the darkness. It's a murky world that they're living in. So we have the opportunity to be that light sort of guiding them through all of this choppy water that they're going through. And at the same time, I think we can be really candid and honest with them. One of the big things I've seen with tweens and young teens is they're taking on to their faith as their own. It's no longer just something their parents did or, you know, an expectation that you always go to church, but they're really wrestling with a lot of doubts and fears and concerns. And as adults, I think we need to encourage them, you know, be honest with us. And it's okay if you're questioning something and you're wrestling with it and you're doubting, that's okay, because that's a process that everybody goes through as they make their faith their own. You know, we can point them towards Christ, who is unchanging. And that's a huge thing in a tween's life, to know that there's somebody that is unchanging, that loves them no matter what, no matter what they say. It's a powerful thing for us to show them.
Absolutely. Is there anything specifically that you would like teachers or parents to know about these tween years that we haven't covered yet?
There's just a lot that this age is wrestling with. So I think really the key word that people can remember is it's tension. There's tension between excitement and sort of being goofy still and not being able to focus. They're really caught in these two stages. And on one hand, they laugh while they're praying, or they goof around while they're supposed to be serious. But on the other hand, they really want to discuss these serious subjects like death and faith and sex and culture. But at the same time, they don't always know how to ask about those things. One of the key things that I like to tell my leaders is a lot of times kids, you don't always see that light bulb go off in their heads. They'll be kind of giggling and goofing around and maybe squirming, and you're trying to have a serious discussion. And, you know, it might seem to you like they're not getting it, they're not there with you, but it didn't make an impact. But keep having those conversations, because it is sinking in. You're just seeing kids that are in that sort of strange stage where they're balancing that tension between being silly little kids and being young adults.
Was there anything about your time, your visit with these fourth graders that you found surprising, that you just didn't expect to hear?
I was surprised to find out that they really, a lot of the things they're looking forward to are things I take for granted. A couple of them said, I'm really excited to be older, and I get to sit in the front seat of the car now, and I get to have a locker, and, you know, I get to stay home by myself, and my parents will leave me at home, and it'll be great. So there's still sort of this childlike wonder and excitement over these things that seem so minor to us as adults, but it's still a big thing in the life of these tweens.
We've been talking with Cassie Moore. She's a DCE and a writer and speaker. Cassie, you've done a great job with presenting us with some helpful material with this article on the Youth eSource Betwixt Inside the Tween Mind. You can find it at youthesource.com. And thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey, there's something scary at Odyssey Middle School's theater.
Have you guys ever heard of the Phantom of the Taft Hartley?
A phantom?
50 years ago, Roosevelt Hartley died. Ever since then, he has haunted the theater.
Rue the day.
Don't get stage fright on the next Adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for being with us today. We are talking about a number of things going on in youth ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Youth eSource, youthesource.com. Joining us in studio today, James Lohman. He's Associate Director in the Office of National Mission Youth and serves in a number of capacities, servant events, National Youth Gathering, and fellow DCE here at the LCMS yes, International Center.
The Jim, two directors of Christian Education.
Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Good to be here this morning.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us. I want to talk about servant events. You have, there are a team of people have posted some things on Youth eSource, and one of them is 10 things, top 10 things to remember after your event. Now, this is not David Letterman, so
okay.
Top 10.
I'll try not. Since we are on radio, I can't have any visuals to show anyway, but there is a good team on our LCMS servant event committee, and those folks with many years of experience of hosting events have put that together. Not to say events aren't happening as we speak.
Well, and that's just it.
Because they are.
And that's why I think this is a valuable thing to cover right now, because there are servant events going on all over the country right now, aren't there?
Correct.
And some still happening throughout the summer, but I'm sure quite a few have happened. So some things to be thinking about as you're wrapping up your servant event, or you know, if your servant event hasn't happened yet this summer, if you're thinking about planning one for next year, this is helpful advice.
Well, one of the things, and on the list, it's number 10. But certainly when you're wrapping up your event and your time with those folks, remembering those who've served with you, those who you've served, and lifting those folks up in prayer, because your ministry may be happening over the course of a week, but what's going to happen is just as powerful after you leave. So praying for praying for your efforts and those folks that you've served is certainly a great tool.
Sure. Sometimes on servant events, people come together who don't know each other. And so these relationships form. There's a bond formed during that few days or that week together, or a couple of weeks together. And so you can pray for that. You can pray for, as you said, the people that were served. I know one of the servant events that I had the privilege of serving on, you know, we traveled to a destination fairly far away and served people in a community that we normally wouldn't have met in our everyday lives. And so it gives us a chance to pray for them. And
I remember being a part of a home building experience, and there was, of course, the official passing on of the keys after it was over, but we happened to go back. We continued to pray for the homeowners, and then even the following year went back to see how things were going for the homeowner. And you're right about those relationships, and certainly right about the importance of prayer.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's number 10.
Well, number 9 kind of connects, because you're meeting all sorts of new people and doing new things. So just thinking of ways that you can communicate with those folks, either as the leader or as the participant, thanking those who served. Perhaps there's a Bible study. I know our events provide Bible study and devotion resources. So sending one of those out, posting some pictures through social media or other tools. Those can be a great way to affirm your participants and those who've served.
And after a serve an event happens, well, maybe even before, it seems like lots of new friends on Facebook and social media start happening,
yes,
right? Lots
yes.
of new friendships online uh-huh. happen.
Yes.
All right. So, affirm that the work that has happened, affirm your efforts and communicate that.
And you probably, and that leads us to number eight, talking about affirming, thank those people who supported you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone from your church provided a monetary gift, or mm-hmm. if you were working in the community, perhaps a local business provided supplies or lunch or something. Make mm-hmm. sure that you thank them for their efforts, and also then in consideration mm-hmm. of other things that might happen in the future where you might need their assistance.
Send them a thank you note, especially if there was a group of people who prepared lunches for you or breakfasts,
right.
host families who
Correct.
Provided accommodations for you. So write thank you notes. That's a great idea. Number seven.
Well, it's always good to evaluate what you've done as you look for the future. When I was serving in the parish, back in those days, you still had, well, I still use file folders. File folders yeah. will never go out of date, but there'd be a file folder for that event, and then evaluating the participants or those who served and writing down notes and even jotting down notes throughout, and then mm-hmm. keeping those. So then when you're planning the next event, you have those things to draw on what worked and what might need a little improvement in the future.
I think it's just in your blood as an educator when
yes,
you do something
yes.
else. Evaluate everything you do. That's a key part of planning for the next time is what worked well, what could we improve, what do we need to consider as we plan for next time based on the experience that we had this time.
Yes.
All right. So that was number seven. Number six?
Well, usually you're borrowing things. I remember a time when we had to travel somewhere and we had to bring our own power tools. And it's just not something a teenager has in their rooms. So
Some
Mike. Maybe, yes, depending on what they're considering for their future vocation. But we borrowed a number of tools. And so, first of all, made sure we returned those in the condition in which mm-hmm. we found them. And then, you know, kind of goes back to thanking them for
sure.
it. And maybe there's some memento that you've picked up along the way that you can give them as well for sharing their equipment with you during that time.
Absolutely. So return all the equipment, all the tools in the proper condition.
Yes, yes. And if it isn't, you need to consider that you probably will need to replace mm-hmm. that for the person.
Don't wear out any drills or
right,
any
tools. Right. New drill bits. Yes.
All right. Number five.
Well, I have found in working with youth that a bond builds between the young people who've mm-hmm. served together, particularly those who then are a part of the youth group. So just making sure that you keep in contact with them, giving them an opportunity to share their stories with one another, how it's impacted their faith life, and then looking to other ways that you can serve where you are and serve together and reflect on that experience.
That's a great idea to have conversations about the experience that you had and what does that mean for where you are, right in your own backyard, right in your own neighborhood? How can you take that experience that you had serving on a sermon event, maybe somewhere else, and synthesize that? What does that mean for us right here in our neighborhood? Can we do things like that here? Mm-hmm. Very good.
Good.
Number four.
Well, once you get back, you'll want to share your story, particularly with your congregation. That might
right.
happen on a Sunday morning during the Bible hour or something during your other Sunday morning times, or maybe even something special if you've gone to, I know some groups that have gone and helped at Camp Restore in mm-hmm. New Orleans, and they've come back and hosted a meal with kind of authentic, you know, the red beans and rice meal, and then shared their story with the congregation and those who supported them with their opportunity to serve.
Food is always a good thing.
Yes.
And number three.
Well, share with your congregation, and then if there are ways that you can share that in your community, perhaps through your local newspaper or your church website or in other ways, so people are aware of your story of service.
Sure. So that the neighbors know that if they supported the youth who, you know, maybe through fundraisers or something like that, that they know they get some feedback on where those dollars were spent, how those efforts were used, and that they did something meaningful with it.
And that leads well to number two, which you've had adult leaders who've gone and you want to encourage them as they get back. And then to also have something planned for service once you get back, or maybe that will instill time for young people to get together. I would host an event every Saturday, not every Saturday, one Saturday morning a month. Saturday Servants is what we called it. And we had a set place where we went and we gathered and had a little devotion. And then we went and did our service. And it was our servant team that made that up as we continued that opportunity once we were home.
Opportunities to serve are important. And that's an important part of our life together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christians, serving together.
Following that example that Christ gave us in his ministry.
And as we are given, as he gives us different talents and gifts and skills. And number one,
sit back, relax, and celebrate. Spend some time to just celebrate and reflect on this
look
opportunity
through all the pictures
that God has given you to serve his people.
Look through all the pictures and think about how tired you were at night.
Yes, yes. How many games of cards you played and all of those sorts of things.
And how many games you played on the drive there if it was a long drive.
Yes, yes. How many miles you clocked on the odometer.
Those are good times, good memories. I know a lot of my fond memories are from times like that, from servant events.
Yes, I would agree. And having two daughters who've experienced that as well as teenagers and young adults, that becomes a conversation many times as they reflect on what they had the opportunity to do.
Absolutely. Well, this is a great list. You can find it on youthesource.com. You can look for it on there. Just type in servant events on the in the search engine. It'll show up in that list. And any other information about servant events this summer or planning for next year, they can find that.
Well, we're working on pulling together our list of those who will be hosting in the summer of 2015. So watch for that. There'll be a link through the eSource, and then when you visit the lcms.org
/youth,
you can find it there too.
You can get to all the youth ministry opportunities.
And certainly we're planning for the summer, but there are some that are ongoing, and you can schedule if you have a fall break or a spring break or other time when you want to pull a group together. There's places that you can go and serve.
And opportunities for youth, opportunities for families, people of all ages. Correct. There are great opportunities. We've been talking with James Lohman, Associate Director in the Office of National Mission, particularly in youth. Jim, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.